Yisurim suffering. Ah, Geschmack, you're Litvak. Were your parents from your ancestors originally?
Russia.
Russia? Litvak. So we said that Yisurim has some kind of an aspect of Shlichus. It's some kind of a messenger, yeah? Suffering is a messenger from Hashem. The power of the agent cannot be greater than the power of the principal, the person sending the Shliach, which is fairly obvious and logical. And therefore, whatever suffering we know is coming from Hashem, and it's coming exactly with what we need. So let's see. Oh, so we saw, we brought this aspect of understanding that everything that happens to us, all the suffering, all the difficulties, all the tests we have, we saw, so it's been a long time since we learned, so I'm trying to summarize where we are, in the middle of a paragraph here. We saw when Klal Yisrael said that Hasinai, Kol Hashem Dibei Hashem Na'aseh V'Nishma, everything Hashem says, Na'aseh V'Nishma, we will do and we'll Nishma, whatever Nishma means. Let's just translate it very crudely. It means we'll hear, we'll understand, but that's not what it means. Shema, by the way, just to know, the word Shema always means a rebuilding. When you say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, it doesn't mean hear, you know, like you hear a nice tune. Shema means, the Gemara says, Ein Shema Ela B'Chakira. Shema only comes about as a result of rebuilding the concept. What is it? A fascinating idea from the past. We learn Talmud Bavli, right? Downstairs in Yeshua, we learn Talmud Bavli. Why don't we learn Talmud Yerushalmi? Why don't we start with Yerushalmi? Question number one. Question number two, whenever Bavli wants to bring a proof, what does it say? Tashma. Come in here, Tashma. Whenever the Yerushalmi or the Zohar wants to bring a proof, it says Tachazi, come and see. That's not a coincidence. Shema means come and rebuild something that you don't understand. Tachazi means come and see something, come look at a picture. How does hearing work? When you hear something, you hear one syllable at a time, and your brain reconstructs what you're hearing, right? It doesn't feel like that because it happens very quickly, automatically. But if you slow down the process of hearing, what is happening? I mean, you've been an engineer, maybe you can explain this to me. The sound waves come and they hit the eardrum one at a time, right? You don't get a total picture of hearing. You hear boom, 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 and then you get the whole thing. And the brain reconstructs it. You know? Seeing, what happens when you look at something? You see the whole picture. It's not a reconstruction process. You see it, there it is. The brain interprets it, but doesn't reconstruct the picture. So what's Bavli? Bavli is Bavl, Mubul Bavl. It's all mixed up and cloudy and messed. It's Torah Hagolus, yeah? So you have to come and reconstruct and rebuild the Torah. Tashma means you don't understand this. Come and rebuild your understanding, reconstruct your understanding. Once you've done that, now you can see the whole picture. That's Talmud Yerushalmi. When you finish rebuilding Bavli, it means rebuilding yourself. That you have a clear understanding, now you can come and have a look. Tachazi, the Zohar says, come and look, come and see the things there. So when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, doesn't mean Hero Israel. It's not what it means. It means Shema Yisrael, you, Jew, yeah? Listen carefully and reconstruct your appreciation of the fact that Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's what Shema means. Shema means rebuild. Because you don't... Why do we have to say Shema? Because during the day or during the night, I've lost my appreciation of the fact that Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So Shema Yisrael, come rebuild that appreciation. Get back to that understanding that it's all one thing. There's nothing in the world other than Hashem. But it's not a question of just Yared. It's a question of understanding deeply through a process of reconstruction. So when Klal Yisrael said, Na'aseh V'Nishma, we'll do all the mitzvahs V'Nishma, it didn't mean we'll do the mitzvahs and then we'll come and understand. It means via doing the mitzvahs, you'll reconstruct that understanding of what's going on in the world. That's really what Na'aseh V'Nishma, not really, it's one of the tracking what it means. But when Klal Yisrael said, Kol Asher Dibei Hashem Na'aseh V'Nishma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, who taught the angels, who taught Klal Yisrael the secret that the Malachim use? Who taught this secret to my sons? The secret the Malachim use. So what does it mean that the Malachim use this secret? What is a Malach? A Malach is something that does exactly what he's supposed to do. Why? Because he can't do anything else. His whole nature and essence is to do whatever he's told to do, because that's why he was created. He was created for this unique task. So what else could he do other than this unique task that he was created for? So I mean, Klal Yisrael, when they said Master Benishna, got themselves to a level where they understood exactly what they were created for and were going to do exactly what they were supposed to do. That was the secret of Master Benishna. So let's start Reish Samach Zayin. Did I more change? Reish Samach Zayin. The Maimad Athinai. I don't mind if they stay, I don't have to leave. Ma'amad Asinai, Amad Am Yisrael, Bahachris, Klal Yisrael stood and proclaimed. So, Makavan is a Torah, but call massive of a call tonight. We're accepting the Torah in every situation. Kemalacha Asharat Mamash, like the Malachim. The Malachim is a total call that makes a difference to them. They do what they do, they're not affected by external factors. We said the same thing. Ma'asim Yisrael do no matter what the external factors are. Hem kiblo al atzmam liyo shlichim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol ma'asim b'chol tznai. Oh, shtach of it. Rav Simcha Wasserman was once giving a shir, two bochum with a little chair. So went out to get a chair, each one came back and got a chair and sat down. Rav Simcha stopped the shir, he said, you're such fools. Had you brought him a chair, you brought him a chair, you could have both had a mitzvah. One of the most powerful lessons I ever learned from a Wasserman. You're going anywhere to get a chair, so I'll get one for yourself. You get a chair for him, you get a chair for him, and then you both have a mitzvah. You're a powerful limb with it, anyway. Hey, Makabri Mamatzman Lamale called Siva Shitzovah San Hashem. Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves to fulfill every command that Hashem gave them. Shereim hu yitzavotam. Why did they do it? Because they understood that if Hashem's asking me to do this, or telling me to do it, av kolchuch chayim shlichuch shemokum, that these commands are agents of Hashem. The koyach hamashalech, b'shliach. The power of the principal is in the agent. When you're doing business with an agent, right, the agent has all the power that the principal has to sign and close the deal, right? If I want to buy a house, I don't have to go buy the house. I mean, you don't, the seller doesn't even have to know that I exist. I point you, Mashliach, I say, you go buy the house for me. It means you have all the power that I have to close this deal, right? That's what a shliach is. When a man sends a shliach to Makadosh Shavuah for him, you can't be bothered with shidduchim, you're too busy learning, you haven't got time for all this shidduchim business. So you appoint the shliach and you say, go to the shatchan, and the first girl she brings you, you say, right, mekadeshesli, and if she's makabel, they'll finish, right? How can he makadosh a woman for you? Because he has all the koyach that you have. That's pshat in shlichus. That's the longest part of what a shliach is. He has all the koyach you have. So if the matzovim, the difficulties, yusurim, the commandments, everything Hashem's asking us to deal with are shlichim of Hashem, so then it's like Hashem's here himself. V'im kain, aim shum natskim in a mahu gaido ha-mashima. Yiknu lehem koichas adirim lebetzai ha-shlichas. Doesn't matter how big the request is, doesn't matter how big what Hashem's asking us here to do. If Hashem's asking me to do this, I must have the ability to do it. Zehu Raz Shegilu Klal Yisrael. That's the secret that Klal Yisrael revealed when they said Na'aseh V'Nishna. Hem Gilu Ki Hem Shlichim Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Olam Hazeh. They testified, Hashem, we are your angels in this world. V'Rahim K'malach HaSharis V'Af L'Mal Emeh. We are like the angels, even bigger than them. Because ultimately we have Bechira and they don't. So that's quite a big cut-off point. It means if I'm a Shliach of Hashem, then I became Koyach that Hashem has to do whatever has to be done here. I mean, whenever you're having a problem, and you're having a difficulty and you want to give up, just ask yourself the following question. If Hashem would help me overcome this problem, could I overcome it? Yes. No. So then go for it, because Hashem can help you overcome the problem. Because you're a shliach of Hashem, and you have the same power that the Mashalach has. There's nothing that Hashem asks you to do that you can't do, because Hashem himself will help you, you'll do it. If Hashem will help you learn Shas Baal Peh in 6 months, can you do it? Mabaya. How hard is it? Hashem will help me. What's the problem? If Hashem will help me, I can jump to the moon. If Hashem asks you to jump to the moon, you'll jump. What's the problem? If Hashem will help you jump to me, you can jump to the moon. Yeah? So whatever Hashem asks you to do, He's going to help you do it. So what's the problem?
And how far do you extend that? I mean,
only what He asks you to do.
Hashem doesn't want me to learn all the Shas in a night?
1 second. Okay. If Hashem asks you to do it, and you see that that's a command, and that's something that's incumbent upon you, then go for it. No one asks you to finish Shas in a night. No, it's physically impossible. The Vilna Gaon couldn't finish Shas in a night. Maybe we need to really finish Shas 50 times or whatever, but no one expects a guy who became Chum 3 years ago There has to be a seichel inushi as well. That's not incumbent upon you to do that.
Hashem would want me to learn, know as much Torah as I can.
Correct.
As quickly
well,
as possible.
It depends on you, once again. That's when seichel comes in, and that's where you need a lot of das Torah, and you need a lot of healthy understanding of what the Ratzon Hashem is. We don't know what the Ratzon Hashem for you is.
And then we can never plant it.
We can, because there are people that do know what the Ratzon Hashem is. That's called das Torah. One second. That's why we don't always make these decisions on our own. Das Torah knows. I mean, it's like this. How do we find out what the Ratzon Hashem is? Find the person who knows as much Torah and most Torah and is recognized as being the person who knows as much Ratzon Hashem as possible. Rabbi Lashav is the Poisek Gadol. So Rabbi Lashav today is the person who knows the Ratzon Hashem as much as anybody else. I mean, not as much as anybody else, more than anybody else. So if you don't know what the Ratzon Hashem is, go ask Rabbi Lashav what the Ratzon Hashem is. Are you right? He doesn't know as much as Moshe Rabbeinu. And Hashem doesn't need you to know as much as Moshe Rabbeinu. He needs you to know as much as the Gedolim of this generation. So you go ask Das Torah, and you know what the Ratzon Hashem is. Sometimes you don't need to ask Das Torah. You can just look in a Mishnah Berurah. You can open up an art scroll. You know, what bracha do you make on an apple? So pashtus, without taking to the whole soup, you make bray pray. Ah, so another Ratzon Hashem. The Ratzon Hashem is, please make a bray pray. It's another Ratzon Hashem. In the klal personal, what am I supposed to be doing with my life and how much, when, and whatever, yeah, okay, but the Ratzon Hashem is also that according to Slap, you get 8 hours sleep a night, or a day, and that you eat healthily, and that you get exercise, and you get rest, in fact, there were plenty of Gedolim that drove themselves to the point of illness, learning, and whatever, and then stepped back and took care of themselves, etc. I mean, yeah, whatever, you have to know. Rabbi Elalopin used to fast, came up from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. And the family was very concerned, very healthy. What's going to be? Whatever. Rebellia said, I know myself. You know. Ah, for somebody else, it would have been Meshuga. Yeah, but for him, those are delicate ones. But let's not get philosophical. Let's just keep in the realms of halacha. We know what the halacha is. Halacha is you've got to be kovei mitzvah Torah. You have to learn so much and so much. You have to be, whatever, etc. There's 630 bits of floating around. You know, you're right. You've got to know as much as possible. Yeah, but you also have to daven. You also have to go to the bathroom. You also have to. There's a lot of demands on a Jew, you know, besides just sitting and learning. But whenever you have nothing else to do, then you have the chiyuv to learn.
How can Rabbi Yosef know his machlokes about Lomah if he doesn't know him?
That's Das Torah. He doesn't have to know. You're right. I mean, practicing, how does it work? Okay, that's a shiur on Das Torah. That's not a shiur right now, but you're right. In Achinami. Das Torah says we have to talk it out with him, whatever. And there are some people have a certain thing called Ruach HaKodesh, certain things called. But Achinami, you have to sit down with a rov that knows you and discuss it with you and work out a whole, you know, and work out something like, what's best for you, Achinami. Yeah, Machabos of Alama is that's already a more personal, inner dark kind of experience. Yeah. But it's a process, not an event. Discovering Machabos of Alama is not an event. You're suddenly boing, little guy jumps out from behind the bush with a big banner, you know. This is your job in the world. It's a process, it's a relationship, like everything in Yiddishkeit. It's a relationship with yourself, so building relationships takes time. Happiness is not an event, it's a process. Everything's a process. Nothing, you know, we're very Christianified. We want everything to be events, because they deny the concept of process. We're very much into a thing called process. What's appropriate yesterday may not be appropriate today. What yesterday was a right for you today, you might have to reevaluate and say, hold on, I'm a different person today, so maybe I have new demands for myself. It keeps changing, doesn't it? That's it. There was a hand there somewhere. Oh, yeah.
I think the Ra was explaining how, you know, the point in life when we do know what our mission is, in other words, when things that happen to us, we know obviously if we're in line in the pharmacy or whatever, we're lying in the door and like people get on your nerves, you know that that's your mission now. We're not talking about adding on to, like, you know, we could become Gedolim or whatever. We're talking about when we do know our mission. If we're here and this guy's annoying me, I know my mission is to.
Yeah, it was the Moshe brought with the apple. You know that the Ratzon Hashem is to make an ace on this apple. Yeah. Right. The guy's irritating you in the line in the door, or your kids are driving you nuts, or whatever, or you know you play Pac-Man instead of learning, whatever. Yeah, but you were talking more clearly. How do you sit down and know what direction to aim in? Yeah, okay, that's more basic than a lot of cheshbon and effort. I'm benching anyway, so I know what I'm supposed to be doing now. Yeah, I'm supposed to be benching. Yeah. I once asked one of my rabbis, how do you go about setting goals? You know, Judaism, you know, look, I'm a good kid, I want to know, like goals, you know. So he said to me, he said, fascinating, he thought for a long time, he said, you know, I never ever heard any of my rabbis, the guy that grew up in the feet of the Gedolim, I never heard any of my rabbis ever talking about goals. So it could be for this generation today, you need to have goals, so go speak to somebody, go speak to another rabbi about goals. He said, I can only tell you what I heard from my rabbi. My rabbi said, whatever you do, do properly. If you're benching anyway, so bench properly. You have to bench, so no, bench properly. You're learning, no, so learn with concentration. You're going for a walk, no, so go for a walk. You're supposed to go for a walk. It means you've got to know what you're supposed to be doing, whatever you're doing. That's all part of the Ratzon Hashem. That's what means bent Torah. What does it mean a bent Torah? What does it mean a bent Torah? A ben is somebody who's born from something, right? I need ben Rochel. That means Rochel is my mommy. I was born from Rochel. So I say, what's a bent Torah? It's something that's born from Torah. That means everything I do is an expression of having been born from the Torah. That means I got to work today because that's something that the Torah demands of me. I'm sitting and learning out because something the Torah demands of me. I'm not going out to work today because you've got to be practical, kid. You know, you've got to make a living. No, I'm going to work today because part of the responsibilities in this chayvus of being a ben Torah is you have to make a shtadlus for parnasa. And I'm going to the doctor today not because, well, you know, you have to look after yourself and take care of your health. I'm going to the doctor because part of being a responsible ben Torah, part of being a ben Torah is you know, you have to make a shtadlus for the positive. It says you've got to go to the doctor. And what else? It means everything that I do is born out of what the Torah demands of me. So yeah, when I'm standing in the line at the door, the Yetzer Hara is there as well, and there's a Muhammad going on there as well. Usually that's where most of the Muhammad take place. You know? When you need God is when you leave the Beis Midrash. In the Beis Midrash you don't need God so much, yeah? In the Beis Midrash it's easy to be a tzaddik. When you walk outside, that's when you really need God to go with you. And you usually need God in the Beis Midrash. Anybody else? Yeah. No, but your point's well taken. So very important you sort to remember this. There's always two things going on. There's the immediate, what I'm doing in this moment, and then of course, what direction is that heading in? That's the ongoing struggle that we have of being in the moment, but at the same time being focused on the future.
But it sounds also when you have a choice. Should I...
Oh, that's Bechira, yes. So that's when there's choices to be involved. So either you're relying on your own Bechira, and you're making your own Bechira decisions, and sometimes you'll be right, and sometimes you'll be wrong. And you'll learn a lot more from the mistakes you make from them when you get it right. I promise you. The mistakes you make are much bigger friends than the times you got it right on your own. And sometimes you can't make a decision on your own, and you go and ask Das Torah, and you rely on Das Torah to not make a decision for you, but to give you the kalim so that you can go and make the own decision. A rabbi that tells you what to do, yeah, and doesn't leave you to make your own decision is not building you. And never ever, my rabbi never ever ever told me what to do. He used to leave me frustratedly, mamas dangling on the end of a string, knowing what all the factors were, knowing what all the priorities were. He would help me reprioritize. I'll be putting a lot of emphasis on this. And he would say, no, that's not important. Maybe look at it this way. This is more important, whatever. But would never, ever, ever, you know, take over the responsibility of my life by telling me, do this, don't do this, do that, don't do this. He used to leave us frustrated. I remember guys coming out of his office. It was always the same thing. So what did the boss say? Don't he works for me. I'm just as confused as I was on how he did. Oh, that's building. That's giving you, that's building. Yeah. Never, never try and be somebody else's adult. Bechira is an adult domain. There's no room. The kids don't have Bechira. An adult, what he gets when he becomes a mitzvah, the thing called Bechira. Never, ever try and take another man's Bechira away from him.
But if he knows and doesn't, suddenly lets you make mistakes, isn't that dangerous?
I let my kids make mistakes all the time. I'm telling you, the value of a mistake is so precious. Once again, depends on the mistake. Kids are going to, you know, put his head in an electronic, you know, he's going to frazzle his back. Well, buddy, you've got to save his life. But mistakes? Revolvi once told him all the week, he said, sometimes you have to step back and you have to watch your kids walk off the edge of a cliff. Because that's what you have to do sometimes. Obviously, you have to make sure that they're going to get up and they get on. No, that's obviously one of the biggest problems, you know, that Jewish parenting is not allowing your kids to make mistakes.